Well, we're back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I said I would talk about real salvation today. We saw real righteousness as Jesus was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, what real worship was, what real possessions are, not the things of this earth, right, but the things that really matter, and how real relationships ought to be, where there's a great amount of love, where we're not constantly judging other people. But then Jesus concludes this very important Sermon on the Mount with what real salvation is. Because what he does is he sets up all these things and says, listen, this isn't the way Christianity is supposed to be really lived. But look, when we really honestly look at the call of God and what salvation really is, it leaves us wanting. It leaves us lacking. It causes us to see, get these out of the way here, it causes us to see that, boy, we come short. And if anybody's gone through this and hasn't found out that they've come short, you have not heard the word of the Lord. So we're going to talk about real salvation today. By the way, I just want you to know we have a website that's up and running, and it's Christian Community Church of Shaddycamp. .com, I think. Anyway, if you punch in Christian Community Church of Shaddycamp on your computer, it will come up, and the sermons that are preached will be available online the next day. So if you miss a sermon, or if they're in the nursery or looking after the kids, you can still get to hear it. And there's other things. There's some photos up there. We're going to be adding more photos. There's a video I just put up last night. So there's other things that will be added. So don't just visit it once already. There's been 80 people visit. I have this tracker that can tell you exactly where people are that visited the website. So we've had visits from Ghana, Africa. We've had visits from South Korea, where Melinda is actually, the Philippines, from California, from North and South Carolina, different places, Fredericton, Charlottetown. So it's amazing the opportunity that we have. And of course, when visitors are going to travel through the area and they're looking for a church, an evangelical church, they will look and they will find us. So it's a great opportunity. Anyway, let's come back to real salvation. And we're going to discover the first in this section of Scripture that there are two roads. Not three, but two roads. And we're going to look and see what those two roads are as we look in the Scriptures. I think the other night, Friday night, I heard Leonard and Mark, his son, talking about driving through Montreal, and I forget who was driving. I think it was Mark was driving. Mark was driving, and Leonard looks up and he says, "Oh, I think you need to take this exit." So Mark was fiddling with the radio, so he turns off that exit, and then they find out they're in the wrong place. So they were trying to decide whose fault it was, right? Like just kind of like Lammy with the candy, right? Yeah. Well, you know, there are two roads, and when you're traveling down life's highway, there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow way that leads to life. And I really want you to think this morning and ask yourself this question: which road are you on? You cannot be on both roads at the same time. You're either on the broad road or you're on the narrow road. Now, these are the words of Jesus. If you want to dismiss the words of Jesus and carry on with your life, you do so at your own peril. Because Jesus Christ, there is no one who ever lived like him. There's no greater authority, no greater person than him. Now, it's not my words, but Jesus said this: "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Boy, when you look at this passage of Scripture, you find some contrasts. One, there's a wide gate and a narrow gate, right? So there's a wide one, and there's a narrow one. And he says, make sure you enter in. Jesus is encouraging people. Make sure you enter in by the narrow gate, right? And because one of them leads to destruction and the other one leads to life. One leads to destruction and one leads to life. So there's the other contrast. And Another contrast in this passage, these two verses in Matthew 7:13 and 7:14, is that, what is it? I got a pointer on this. I forgot that. I remember how to use it. Whoops. There are many who go in by the broad gate, and there are few who find the narrow gate. You know, the question was asked by the disciples to Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? Jesus' answer was, strive to enter into the narrow gate, because there will come a time when many will try to get in and they won't be able to. So now is always the time to get in the narrow gate. The question that you need to ask yourself today is, am I on the broad way that leads to destruction, or am I in the narrow way that leads to life? Does the narrow way promise that it's going to be a bed of roses? Is that what it promises? No. It says difficult is the way. It's not easy. It's not easy to go against the tide. You see, I have a little diagram here. There's the broad way, and you see most people are walking on the broad way, and it's easy to go with the tide, isn't it? Everybody else is doing it. Well, if everybody believes this, then it must be true. That's not true at all. If all the world believed that that we could fly and we all got up on top of a building and jumped off, how many would fly? None. Not unless you had a parachute. None would fly. Why? Because truth is always true, no matter. It doesn't matter how many people believe or don't believe it. I just heard a statement on the radio yesterday. Somebody said, well, you know, the thing about religion is that everybody's right. Is that true? Can that be really true? It's not true about anything else. All of a sudden, you put it in religion, say, no, everybody's right. Everybody's got, you know, whatever anybody believes, that's okay. That's not true. It can't be true. If it is, then all the physics of this world don't make any sense at all. Because it's very true. Truth is always truth, and lie is always a lie. What you want to know, and you want to find out, is, well, what really is true? I know there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of religious confusion. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there must be absolute truths. Because we live in a world with absolute truths. Absolute truths, that there is a law called gravity on this planet, isn't there? It's an absolute truth. We are. If you want to go through the physics of this world, you'll constantly find out there are absolute truths. And there are absolute truths in the spiritual world as well. And God has revealed them through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says there is a broad way, and there is a pillar of death that comes. Has anybody cheated death yet? No, you don't cheat this one. You go to it. Whether it's young or whether it's old, you end up there. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, and if you just think a little snippet for you to know, he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Did you know that? Jesus did. So he's warning people. Now, it's not like, if God wasn't warning us, that would be different. And, you know, I know some people, all they do is preach about hell and destruction and fear and everything else. I don't do that. And I don't think anybody should. But you need to speak the truth, that there is a hell and that people do go there. And what Jesus said is many go there. The broad way leads to destruction and many go in it. So are you one of the many or are you one of the few? But thank God, Jesus said, there is a narrow way that leads to life. And you know, it's an open door. You see John 10:9. Does anybody remember what John 10:9 is? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. So, on the broad road to destruction, which, by the way, all you have to do is sin to get on the broad road. Has everybody at least been on the broad road? Yes. Everyone has been on the broad road because we've all sinned. But Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue us from the broad road. And what does he do? He stands as a door. He stands as a sign, as a post on this journey towards the grave. And he stands there and he calls us into the open door and says, come, and you have eternal life. Come to me and I will give you rest. He gives the promise of the narrow way that leads to life. And so we have this promise from Jesus Christ. You know, in Proverbs 14:12, this is an important verse. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right, right? It looks good. It seems like it's going to be okay. but it ends up to be the way of death. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's the verse, John 10:9 again. I am the door. But if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and win and out and find pasture. So we have two roads. Are you on the broad road? Or are you on the narrow road? That's the question you have to be able to answer. And you need to know, well, how do I get from the broad road to the narrow road? How can I get there? Oh, the answer is so simple, friends. The Bible says, put your trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Two roads, two destinations as a result of it. Now, we're going to talk about two trees. You might say, why does he want to talk about trees now? Well, Jesus is giving illustrations to help us to understand, okay? So he says, you're either on this road or this road. But then what he does, he says, here's a test to see which road you're on. Which tree are you? Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Is there such a thing as false prophets? The world's full of them, isn't it? How do you tell the false from the true? Jesus wants us to know. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Listen, if you want to know whether it's a false prophet or if it's a true, then check the fruit. What's happening? What's coming out of a person's life? If a religion, quote, professes that they have all the answers and the lifestyle is wrong and there's not the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, there's something wrong. Check it out. Just because lots of people believe in something doesn't make it true, remember? So I got to check the fruit. And here's a good clue for you. If you want to have good fruit, you need to have a good root. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? If I plant the root of a thorn bush, I can wait for eternity to get some figs off of it or some grapes off of it. Will I ever get one? Mm-hmm. No. That thorn bush will always produce thorns. It always will, consistently. So what I need to make sure is I've got the right root. And the only root that's going to make it is the very root of God, the Spirit of God. He gives us, the Bible says, when we become a Christian, we become new on the inside. God makes us new. So we have a new root, and therefore now we have new fruit. That's what God does. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. I can tell you something. This is the truth. In myself, I'll always produce thorns. That's what I'll produce. And I've proven that one. But in Christ, when I lean on Jesus Christ and trust Him, then I'll produce grapes. I'll produce good fruit. I'll produce joy and peace and kindness and gentleness. So we have two trees. Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. God doesn't want you to check your brains at the door. He wants you to think through what salvation is. And He wants you to realize that God is looking for reality. That if a person says they're on the narrow road and the fruit is rotten, and it's just consistently rotten, there's something wrong. He says, take care, make sure. And of course, he's also dealing here with false teachers. It doesn't matter whether we're preachers or ministers, or it doesn't matter how high up we are in politics or whatever. The question is which road am I on, and what's the root in my life, and what kind of fruit is it being produced? Now, we see two different kinds of works in this passage of Scripture as well. Jesus said, listen to this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So would you be safe to say in Matthew 7:21 that this person saying, Lord, Lord, is praying? Okay? So he's saying not everyone who is praying is going to get into heaven. Is that true? Not everyone who's saying, Lord, Lord, in other words, they're saying, Jesus is Lord. Right? saying to me, he said, not everyone who says that is going to get into heaven. Yes.
There are pastors that won't get into heaven.
Oh, lots of preachers aren't going to make it. It's true. Just because somebody wears a collar? Okay. Just because somebody wears a collar or because they're a preacher or because they've got letters after their name, is God impressed with those things? No. He's impressed with fruit. He's impressed with real Christianity being lived. So some people will say, Lord, Lord. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about God. But they shall not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But what? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So it's reality. Many will say to me in that day. Now look at the things they said. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? That's preaching. We proclaimed in your name. What else did we do? We cast out demons in your name. We done many wonders in your name. That's quite a list. Isn't that quite a list? So the person comes before God and they says, Lord, look at all we've done in your name. That sounds like they got a pretty good chance, don't you think? What does Jesus say? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Imagine, after all of this religion, after all of this so-called goodness being done, and they're not going to get into heaven. Why? Why wouldn't these people get in? What's the problem here? Yeah?
God doesn't want religion, he wants a relationship.
Okay, he doesn't want religion, he wants a relationship. What else does this say? Okay. Okay, they're not practicing what they preach. Okay, the walk doesn't match the talk, or the talk doesn't match the walk, yeah?
But they're not surrendered either. You can do a lot of good things, but if someone God called you to do, and you're
okay.
doing something else, even though it may look good,
all right.
you're not surrendered
to. You guys are giving these people a hard time. But I'll tell you what, not as hard as Jesus is going to give them on that day. You know, he said, depart from me, you worker of sin. Listen, you want to notice something in this passage that's really important. You'll notice that what there is actually being said is they are coming into the presence of God and they're saying, Lord, look what we've done. This is what we have done. Now, open heaven to us because we've done this, we've done this, and we've done this. And Jesus gives the list, and it's a pretty impressive list. Look what we've done. What's wrong with that picture? It's what they did. They thought they could earn their way to heaven by their works. Their works are not good enough. It's not what you do that gets you into heaven. Because if it is, well, you can always say, I'm doing pretty good here. Or, I got to try a little harder, but at least I'm doing better than so-and-so. Right? We can compare ourselves among ourselves and think, you know, I'm not doing too bad. But listen, can anybody ever be sure of going to heaven if you were trusting in how good you were? Could you ever say, I'm so perfect that God's going to let me into heaven? Anybody want to put their hand up on that one? No? Why not? Because you're not. If you're trusting in your goodness to get you into heaven, you're not getting there. You're going to be called a worker of iniquity, a lawless person. Because what you haven't understood is the simple truth that your works don't cut it. There is only one work that God will accept. You know what that work is? What Jesus did on the cross for you. He died for your sins. He came to wipe out all the sin and to give you a new heart and a new creation. That's the only work God will accept. That's why it's so important. It's not your work. As I said earlier, there's two kinds of works. Not your work, but God's work. Listen, Jesus said this in John 6:28. People came and asked him a very simple question. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" That was the question. What do we need to do? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Put your trust in him. That's the work of God.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God.
And the next phrase?
Not
by works, so that no one can boast. Does that mean it's wrong to do good works?
No.
Of course not. God, we already saw that God was looking for good works, looking for fruit, right? But I'll tell you what, if you have the root, which is faith in Jesus Christ, then you'll have the fruit, because the power of God will enable that.
I heard Luke say once, we are not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works.
Amen to that. Very true. By the way, when I'm away, Luke is going to be preaching one Sunday, and Philip from Bedeck will be preaching the next Sunday, just to let you know that. So, now we're going to come to two foundations. These are all illustrations and examples that Jesus gives for salvation. Remember, two roads, two trees, two different kinds of works, the work of Christ, the work of man, and now two foundations. Well, let's see what Jesus says about foundations. What are foundations for, first of all?
Support.
Okay.
To build on.
To build on. Yeah. And what about, is it important? Isn't it the most important part of the building? I remember hearing a pastor was saying they were building a church in this particular area, and the ground was a little bit iffy, right? And the guy that was working on it, and they were going to build a fairly high structure, whatever this was. And when the engineer was planning it, or when the guys were working on it, the pastor was getting a little bit impatient, because when are they ever going to stop digging? And the answer, he actually went to the guy who was supervising the construction. He said, how come you're digging so much? You're going down so deep. And, you know, and he said, Pastor, if you want to go up, you got to go down first. That's what he said. You got to go down first if you want to be able to go up. Because he had to find good footing. He had to find a good foundation. So Jesus gives this illustration in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, puts them into practice, it's a sad reality that many people won't hear. They'll only hear it, but they won't respond to it. They'll stay on the broad road. They'll think they're going to be saved by their own works. They'll produce rotten fruit, but they'll still think they're going to be okay. And Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, puts them into practice, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, what does the Bible tell us the rock is? The Bible says there's no foundation that any man can lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's called the chief cornerstone. We find out that our hope and our salvation, everything is founded in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. By the way, that verse I quoted said 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so here, Jesus gives the illustration of the floods and everything coming against this house, but because it had a good foundation underneath it, it stayed, it stood. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Probably the phrase in all that we've looked at so far this morning that touches me emotionally more than any is the words, and great was its fall. What a great fall it is for someone to be lost for eternity, to have stayed on the broad road, to have not got the right foundations underneath them. It doesn't matter how much philosophy you have. It doesn't matter how wise you are. Are you wiser than Jesus? Are his words less than what you've accumulated in the wisdom that you think you've gotten in the few years you've lived on this planet? The words of Jesus Christ have stood the test of time. The person of Jesus Christ have stood the test of time. I'm not talking about churches and religions. They've come and they've gone, and they will still continue to do that. But the truth will stand forever. The word of the Lord abides forever. And oh, to make sure that you're standing on the right foundation. Because guess what? The rains will come. The floods will come. The winds will blow, and they will beat on the house. Your life, you will be battered, in other words. Is it true? It's absolutely true. Everybody's life, we're going to experience batterings. And it seems like some people get more batterings than others. Isn't that true? And we don't understand why. But I could tell you something. It doesn't matter. If this person gets 10 times more battering than this person, it's the foundation that's underneath that's going to make the difference. It's where I'm standing. If I'm on the rock, then the battering will happen. But I will prevail in the end because Jesus Christ is holding me. I'm not holding myself because I'm on a foundation that is unshakable. But this other foundation, eventually it will erode out from underneath me. It will not stand. I mean, just think. If you saw somebody starting to build a house on Shetty Camp Beach, just think about it. Would you shake your head?
Yes.
Would you say, are you nuts? How long do you think that's going to last? The first storm, where would that house be? Gone. Gone. And yet people are taking their lives, much more precious than a house, and they're building their lives on rotten foundations and trying to move forward with it. And oh, great will be the fall of it. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That hell was not prepared for people, but for the devil and his demons. But if I don't take the signposts, if I don't go in the door that's open to me, if I don't accept the root that Jesus Christ is called the root and the offspring of David, if I don't accept him into my life, if I don't turn and put my trust in the Lord Jesus, if I think that somehow I'm going to trust in my works instead of his, then I'm going to fall. And it's going to be a great fall. Real salvation is a work that God does for each one of us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. So I'll go back to the first question again. Which road are you on? Have you come off the broad road? If you have, then you know that you've consciously said, okay, from now on, and maybe you need to do that today, from now on, Lord, I'm turning and I'm putting all my hope in Jesus Christ and what you did on the cross. If you do that at this very moment, then you will be saved for eternity. Because once you're on the narrow road, you can't get back on the broad road. Isn't that good news? The Bible says Jesus Christ will hold on to you. So if somehow you found out, even this morning, hey, I'm still on the broad road here. I've never consciously trusted Christ as my Savior. Because, you know, Jesus gives the illustration of a door so that we could see that there's a conscious moving from one place to another. It's not a floating along kind of thing. Well, maybe I'm on the broad, maybe I'm on the narrow, I'm somewhere in the middle. Oh, no, you've got to either be in the door or you're out the door. You know how it is in the middle of the winter. If somebody's standing in the doorway, eventually you're going to tell them, either come in or get out, right? Make up your mind. Don't hang around that doorway too long. Make sure, more than anything in your life, I want to encourage each one of us, make sure you're on the narrow road. Make sure you've come in the door, because that is the only place of safety. And every promise that Archie sung so wonderfully just a little while ago is yours when you trust in Jesus Christ. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were amazed at the teachings of Jesus Christ. Friends, we need Jesus Christ, and the foundation that he is the real foundation for all the storms of life, and it's the real foundation for our eternal destiny. Only one is right. It's not the narrow and the broad, only the narrow way, only the good tree, only Christ's work, only the good foundation. Shamar. Yes, it's God. Christ has to come first. He's only through Jesus. You're right. You know, there's a little song, I taught it to the kids at the Bible club, and it's about the wise man and the foolish man. And it goes like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came out, but the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came out, but the house on the sand fell flat. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come tumbling down. The blessings come down when the prayers go up. The blessings come down when the prayers go up. The blessings come down when the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. Amen. Well, real salvation. Isn't it wonderful that there is real salvation?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a lot of fake ones out there, but there is the genuine. May each one of us be sure. Oh, I want to see everybody in heaven. I don't want to see anyone missing. I want to see everyone there. I'm going there for sure. Because I'm so good?
No.
No. Because of the works I've done?
No.
No. Because Jesus died for me.
Yes.
And I believe it. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We thank you for the promises that you've given to us of a real salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised that whoever comes to you, you will never cast them out. We praise you this morning that no matter how many people are on the broad road, everyone is invited to come, and the door is open, and all they need to do is step in by faith and be saved for time and eternity. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we pray that many, many will come. We know, Lord, they said few will be, there will be. That's in the whole scheme of the world. But Lord, we want lots more to be saved, and we're crying out to you. Help us, Lord, to be at that signpost pointing people, saying, here's the open door. Look, look, look and live. Come to Jesus. We pray that we'll be ones pointing people, calling people into the narrow road that leads to life. We thank you for the word of God this morning. We pray your blessing on us and on the food that we're about to partake of in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. 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 We're done.